This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. Buffalo now 3-0 following Sunday's heart-stopping 35-32 win over the Rams. Josh Allen, with his third straight 300-yard passing day, throwing for 311 and four TDs, he now has 10 passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns on the season, becoming the first QB in NFL history with 10-plus TDs and two-plus rushing touchdowns in his team's first three games of a season. Back on the road next week as the Bills head to Las Vegas for their Week 4 matchup with the 2-1 Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders, they suffered their first loss of the year to the Patriots on Sunday. Rex Burkhead with three touchdowns for New England, Sony Michel with 117 rushing yards, and New England now 2-1 on the season. The Jets' woes continued in their latest blowout loss. Sam Darnold threw three picks as the Colts blew out the Jets 36-7. Indy now has back-to-back wins, and the Sharks in New York are circling around Adam Gase. The Russell Wilson versus Dak Prescott duel was as advertised. Wilson threw five TDs, giving him 14 for the season. That's the most in NFL history through three games as the Seahawks outdueled the Cowboys 38-31. Dak Prescott threw for 472 yards and three touchdowns, but it wasn't enough. He did become only the second quarterback to throw for more than 450 passing yards in consecutive games, joining Jameis Winston, who did it last season. Tonight, a battle between two of the best offenses in the NFL. The 2-0 Chiefs head to Baltimore to take on the 2-0 Ravens. Monday Night Football tonight on ESPN and right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Kickoff at 8:15. Finally, the NBA Finals are set after the Heat advanced with their 125-113 victory over the Celtics to clinch the Eastern Conference Final Series. They will advance to face the Lakers. Game one of the NBA Finals is Wednesday night. And that is your sports update. Here from One Bills Drive, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, ready to begin hour number three of a Bills Victory Monday here on One Bills Live, broadcasting from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park, and set to get back to the phones with you. And Kenny, I know I said your name first, but Joe has been holding on twice as long as you have, so you're on deck. We go to Joe in Georgia. Joe, what do you have for us? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. First, Steve, you haven't been voted in yet, but the Bills have been bad all those years you've been up for election. So now with the national attention that you're getting, I believe this is the year for you to finally get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, heck. In that case, man, go Bills.
Start the campaign.
with that said, a couple things. One, I know that the publications have been talking about how, you know, this is the second consecutive 3-0 start for the Bills. And the past two times it's happened where it's 64-65, and then 91-92, and yeah, left it at that, not furthering it by saying, oh, by the way, in 64-65, they won the AFL championship that year, and oh, by the way, in 91-92, they went to the Super Bowl both of those years.
So, for the record, I did mention that in my column this morning, three things to know. So
I know you. All right, I apologize.
I took it a step further.
But, that's the thing. And then the last thing I just wanted to mention is, you guys touched on it a lot, saying so of the other fans, but just the camaraderie on this team. Loving that Stephon Diggs, every time somebody else does something, Stephon Diggs is jumping up and down and going crazy about it. And, you know, even that last week when he pointed to, John Brown in the back of the end zone, hey, get him. It's just seeing this, which we haven't seen forever. We bring in Kelvin Benjamin, we bring in Terrell Owens, and you just didn't see that. So the fact of the Stephon Diggs, I'm loving the fact that what this team is not just doing on the field, but like you said, Steve, what they're doing off the field to build that love and that camaraderie and that, you know, that togetherness, that it is so great to see. You know?
Well, I'll tell you this, and I appreciate the words, and but yeah, and it is interesting that, you know, what they're saying is that the Bills have started 3-0 for two consecutive years, and the only other two times to do that were 64, 65, and 91, 92.
And those seasons ended up pretty good.
Yeah, they did. But the problem is 91 didn't have anything to do with 92, and 64 had nothing to do with 65, and 2019 didn't have anything to do with 2020. I mean, it's nice, and it speaks to the strength of your team going forward,
and,
but that – it just tells you you've got a good team put together. You guys still got to play.
And the previous
football
year means even less for the next year now roster turnover that you have now in comparison to those two times.
But
he's right, though.
He's right. It does. It is something. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
It gives you a good start to the season. The Bills are rolling along. I've been watching the Raiders and the New England Patriots already, getting ready for the Raiders game this next week, and they're going to struggle to stop this offense. I know that. The Raiders are.
And not for nothing, I
think this is, you know, the Bills got a chance to go 4-0 if they don't turn it over.
Right. Because the Raiders can't stop anybody right now. But to Joe's point that it does mean something, a 3-0 start in this league since 1990 in that playoff format, and granted the playoff format changes this year, so the probabilities arguably increased.
It's increased.
From the numbers that I'm going to give you here. But a 3-0 start, if your team starts 3-0, based on the results since 1990 in the previous playoff format, now it's 7 playoff teams per conference. If you start the season 3-0, you have a 73.6% chance to make the playoffs, a 51.4% chance to win your division, and a 10% chance to win the Super Bowl. That's based on previous teams that have started 3-0 since 1990, for what it's worth. Back to the phones, though, and now we go to Kenny in Buffalo. Kenny, thanks for joining us. What do you have?
Thanks, Chris and Steve, for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
I've been a Bills fan I've been watching Bills football since the early 1960s.
Okay.
And so I've seen a lot of, you know, we've had some good quarterbacks back then, some bad quarterbacks, you know, some mediocre quarterbacks. And Steve, I think you played with one of the best quarterbacks that Buffalo Bills history. I don't need to mention no name because we all know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And to Joe's point, yes, you should be in the Hall of Fame because you were the best special teams player that I've ever seen on the football field.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Get back to quarterbacks. I think Josh Allen has the potential and the ability to be one of the Bills' best quarterbacks ever.
Okay.
My only thing is he has to find a way to hang on to the ball. It seems like every game he has an issue with not having the ball tucked in, especially when he's under pressure or, he's scrambling. I mean, it's like he holds the ball away from his body like it's
a loaf of bread.
No, like a dirty diaper, like you don't want to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's my rant, and I'll listen to you guys. Thanks for having me.
You're right. If he's got a bugaboo, it is being too loose with the football.
Swinging it out there, man, in one hand, that's dangerous.
He plays like a guy, and I'll say this, you don't hold the ball like that in an NFL game unless you are supremely confident. It's not being careless. It's not being like, it's like the ball, you just don't feel like you're going to give it up, right or wrong. And
but
constantly. And it will happen that he will get over that. He's not going to set a fumble record in his career, even if he plays for a long time, because I think Dave Craig put that out of reach. But what you're talking about. And I get it too. You want him to be as disciplined as he can be, but you want him to be the athlete and the competitor that he is. And that means he's going to do some things that other quarterbacks don't see other quarterbacks doing, and he's going to put the ball at risk because he is willing to and able to do things other quarterbacks don't do. That's going to cost you at times. The other side of that is this. He's got incredible physical gifts that you want to exploit to their fullest. And to do that, you've got to allow him to do stuff that nobody else does. So it's a balance, no question. You're never happy when you turn it over. But with a guy like this, I think most people, even his critics, the way he's been playing this season, in the last three games, I think even his critics would be saying, you know what, I'll live with that
for
the rest of it.
But even as big as his mitts are, you're waving it out there with one hand. All you need is somebody to chop your arm, and that ball's going to come loose.
Oh, yeah.
You can't hold on to
the
strength of these players
the
way that they're able to chop at the ball. And that's what pass rushers are being coached to do now. They are less worried about defensive ends getting the sack. They're more concerned about getting the ball out. Why? Because ever since they changed the quarterback rules where you can't touch their head, you can't tackle them below the knees, a lot of these defensive line coaches have said, well, screw getting the sack. Just go get the ball out. Especially if he's waving it around with one hand, go get the ball out, and we'll worry about getting sacks and getting quarterbacks on the ground later, because we'd rather not have to deal with getting a flag thrown for roughing the quarterback. We'd rather have you get the ball out. So go do that.
Right. Yeah, and they're coaching him up, and his coaches are on him. He's on himself. He knows it. But by the same token, you get into a game where things are on the line, it's like, forget it. I'm doing my thing, and I got to make this play. So I'm going to run the ball out here on this side of my hand. You know, I'm going to hold the ball out here and stiff arm this joker, and I'm going to make a play. So that's all well and good when the pocket's clean and we're winning, and I'm carving this defense up. But when it all comes apart, you know, shut up and let me do my thing.
Right.
That's kind of the attitude.
803-0550, back to the phones. And to Katon we go. Katon, welcome to the show. What do you have for us? Are you there, Katon? Going once, going twice.
Hello, can you hear me?
There he is. What do you got for us, Katon? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, big-time fan.
Thanks, great man. What do you got?
Turn your radio down.
All right, I wanted to make a comment on Josh Allen's his progression as far as his decision making and his just, you know, putting the ball in the right spot. He's throwing like darts now, and I appreciate that. He's going real great. I just had a question for you guys, though.
Sure.
If he were to win this division, do you think he has a chance at winning MVP?
Well, I think right now he is unquestionably in the MVP conversation. The only guy that I think is playing better than him right now is Russell Wilson.
And
that's it.
And I'll tell you,
maybe Aaron Rodgers
from last night. And Russell is playing better. I got to tell you, Russell's playing better. He's unbelievable. And Aaron Rodgers last night, and Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, I think what it'll come down to is this. If they play, for instance, and Katon, I'll tell you this. If Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Josh Allen end up having the same statistical season, it's going to come down to how their teams do.
Yep.
The better the team, the better the guy is going to – the more votes that guy is going to get. So if these guys all continue on this path that they're doing right now, they're going to come down to the wire neck and neck.
You're also going to have three guys throw for 5,000 yards.
Josh's on pace for 5,500 yards.
I mean, it's insane.
I mean
– absolutely insane. And I do think it'll drift back closer to the mean. I hope it doesn't, because it's a lot of fun right now. But national sports show on ESPN, Fox, I mean, name your network. They're all asking right now, is Josh Allen an NFL MVP candidate? That's the debate that they're having. Because what he's done the first 3 weeks has caught a lot of people around the country completely by surprise. Because this was not a leap that anybody anticipated outside of the walls of One Bills Drive. And it's taken the league by storm now. I mean, he's a feature. He's the lead in Peter King's Football Morning in America column this week.
Here's the thing, and here's why. There's a couple reasons, two, that I can think of. One, he's playing great. You can't deny it. They're 3-0, and Josh is an enormous part of the reason why. Secondly, nobody in the league right now is more polarizing than Josh Allen, because everybody came out yay or nay, and I mean
there was no middle ground.
A big, fat, black line between the two posts, and you were either on one side of that fence or you were on the other side of that fence. And now that you're on the wrong side of the fence and you said he stunk, like Jalen Ramsey said he was trash, now you've got on Twitter, you've got a Josh Allen apology form that you have to fill out. Because the guy's in the MVP race, and he went from 58.9%
completion
to 71.4% something percent.
71.1.
So now it's like you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, I was wrong.
Got a lot of crow to eat.
I was absolutely wrong. So you got people doing it. It's a fun conversation, and it's all in good fun. But people going on and say, okay, I give up. I was wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of people that have to do that. National media members have to do that. Because nobody, it's rare that you see a guy as raw as Josh was develop into somebody that looks as polished as he does through
this
the first
quickly.
3 weeks.
This quickly.
Well, you say quick, it's been 3 years.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying from year two to year three, the jump
is made.
But
here's the thing. Even in year, it's over year
it's
two
insane.
To year three, if they don't show promise, and more promise most times than Josh did even in year one, you never reach year three because the head coach is gone, the GM's fired. Look, it's Sam Darnold, all you know, 2.0. It's all of that stuff. It's, yeah. You know, everything else that we've seen quarterbacks all over the country go through where, well, this guy's a bust. You're out of here and you're out of here and you're out of here. Here, they gave the kid a chance to play and supported him, let him do what he did best, and then to his credit, he worked hard to get better. And yeah. I don't know why we haven't seen this before, but when you look at it through that lens of like, well, he worked hard, he had a stable organization, the same offense, the team got better around him,
and
he was working hard to get
continuity.
Better. Well, yeah, he got better, and here we are. And so, you know, I don't know why it doesn't happen more often, but it hasn't, yeah. Right? I mean, think of go
certainly
back,
not here.
I welcome a call to have somebody call and say, you remember this guy, how bad he was? And I'll give you one off the top of my head, John Elway. He stunk as a rookie.
So did Troy Aikman.
They stunk. But they were, you know, it wasn't them. It was as much the organization as them. Yeah. And they got a little better. John Elway was, man, he was, let me tell you something. You go back, he was bad. He was bad.
Well, weren't they like 2-14
and
his
then
first year
he
or
got a little better. Then the team got a little better around him. And they kind of hung in there with these. And it was a different world back then, too.
Well,
there's
yeah,
no
there
free
was,
agency. There's none of that stuff
and
going
the young,
on.
And the young QB's got a little more rope, too.
That's right. They got a little more rope, and neither one of those guys, well, Aikman didn't. He took every snap, I think, of his career, but John Elway was sitting behind, who was it, Craig Morton or somebody like that?
I can't remember.
And he sat for a minute, but they got thrown in there.
Yeah.
So we've seen it, but it takes patience and it takes stability.
We are almost all the way through the program. We have yet to get to the tweet sheet, which is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And we were asking for your biggest takeaways from the game, much like we have on the phones. And from Seth, he says, it feels great to be 3-0. That's all that really matters. But the offense looks great for the most part. Can't take the foot off the gas, though. Defense really needs to start playing up to their potential. Too many missed tackles, and the wide receivers are running wide open. I think the biggest shock for Bills fans is that this is a defense that they came to know as a top five unit. And even though there are some statistical categories where this Bills defense is still top five or top 10, there's a concern because I don't, as much as they didn't anticipate the offense to be this prolific, I don't think they thought this defense, which this team has largely relied upon the last 2 years and could count on, would be, what's the word to use here? This inconsistent.
Right.
And it has been through the first three games, and it's of concern.
They're fourth overall in
total offense.
Total offense and defensively
20th.
They're 24th rushing yards per play per game. They're 20th per play.
Oh, you're talking offense.
Passing yards, the Bills are number 2 in the league in yards given up and number 3 overall in yards per play. I think we've seen it before too.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a philosophy where the team says if you want to run it on us, that's fine. But you ain't going to score enough points to really get out ahead of us and leave
us
behind.
Points allowed, though, the Bills are 16th now.
They're right in the middle of the pack.
Defense.
Which is different.
20th overall in total yards allowed, 9th against the run, and they are 27th against the pass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different.
There's some fixing that has to happen here. These are not numbers we are used to seeing with this Bills defense. From Tiffany, Josh Allen is no longer a secret to the rest of the NFL. He's now in the conversation with the rest of the great quarterbacks playing. Second, we really miss star Latulele. He was an unsung hero taking on double teams, freeing up our linebackers to move about freely and make plays. And she is 100% right. As we said earlier in the show, though, I think there is talent here to fill the void left by Starr. I just don't think it's gelled yet on that defensive front. And it makes me wonder sometimes. While I agree wholeheartedly that you need rotation on the defensive line to keep guys fresh, I think they've got to find a balance there between keeping guys fresh and letting guys get into the flow of the game. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wonder if there's a balance you have to strike, right?
I get that. I don't know that there is or not. They would hear it from their players if they thought that was a, if the players thought that was a thing. And by the way, the rankings that I was wrong on just a minute ago, I was reading the Bills.
You were
offense.
Reading offense, yeah.
I was reading their offensive stats.
Defense is 20th total 20th, yards allowed, yeah. 9th against the run, 27th against the pass, 16th in points allowed. Third down defense right now is 20th in the league.
Yeah, they're top 10 against the run, which is, you know, and they faced a really good running team.
Well, that's because
Sunday.
They forced the Jets to throw a lot in week one.
Right. Yeah, they,
and Levy and Bell too. And Levy and Bell got out went out with a hamstring injury.
I'll tell you this too, you got to tip your hat. The Rams are good.
They're really good, really good
and
team.
That's getting lost here because in all the other stuff we talk about as Bills fans and all the stuff, they're good.
Yeah, number and three total offense, fourth rushing offense in the league.
We knew going in, and we thought too, if the Bills went beat this team,
they're pretty dang good.
The Bills passed a really tough test,
mm-hmm.
and I have to say they did. I mean, let's not forget this is a really good Rams team in the toughest division in football out there.
Do you remember
the NFC West?
Do you remember what I said in the pregame show on the radio yesterday? I said this is going to be a back and forth game, and I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last. That's what I said. Now, all
the
things
Rams had the ball last, but there was a lateral play desperation. So you're technically completely wrong.
And it wasn't back and forth the way we thought, with the way I thought it would be.
Well,
I thought it would be tit for tat.
It wasn't back
over here with
it
the Bills for a first half, and then the fourth came in the third quarter.
Yeah. It wasn't like an argument with your friend. It was more like a presidential debate.
And then I'll talk.
And that's how it kind of went. Yeah. And then I'll rebut late, and that's what happened. The Bills got the rebuttal late, and they won the debate.
From Ronnie on the tweet sheet, I want to heap praise on Allen. His heart and drive remind me of that guy in Tampa. I guess he means Brady. That said, I'm a little concerned about the D. Aside from some timely plays in the first half, the Rams moved the ball at will. When those plays didn't come in the second half, the Rams' points rained down. And they did. I mean, it's 29 unanswered. 29 unanswered. I mean, mm-hmm. The last time that happened against a Bills defense under Coach McDermott was that New Orleans game.
Right.
Remember that New Orleans game here?
That was
a tough one.
I was in the stands for that.
That's the last time it happened to the degree we witnessed
it
yesterday.
It was ugly. That Saints game was very ugly.
They had no answer for Alvin Kamara.
Right.
They had no answer for Drew Brees and the passing game, and it was a freight train going downhill.
Yeah, there was no stopping them that day. And that was as bad as the Bills have looked, that they looked that year. And then this last year was the Philly game here in Buffalo. Was their one down game?
Yeah,
I don't know that. And you know this defense. I mean, I'm not going to bail on them and you know say everything. Let's throw our hands up. I still think this is a really good defense, and I think they're going to play well. That offense was for real.
Yeah, they do have some things to clean up. I think they'd be the first to tell you that.
I don't think Edmonds is 100%. I see him taking angles, and it looks like
he's protecting
his
shoulder.
He's trying not to hit. That shoulder. He's trying to hit with the wrong shoulder or the other shoulder. And in so doing,
keep the hits on the shoulder.
He's trying to put
minimum.
His head on the other side of the runner, and it opens up a lane back the other way for the runner. I think I don't know that he hurt himself on that Channing Crowder play against the Jets, but it certainly seems like it was either hurt on that play or before that play, and he was trying to do the exact same thing. So I don't think
it's going to bear watching this week.
I think so too.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's right back in that red non-contact jersey this week.
I'm totally expecting that.
And we have to find out about John Brown. We have to find out about Deion Dawkins, who left the game with the shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Mario Addison was just cramping. He just had muscle cramps.
You could tell by the way they were treating him on the field.
So he should be fine.
And Deion Dawkins looked like he was asking to go back on the field after he got hurt. I don't know that now he woke up this morning and said, you know, right? But on game day when the adrenaline's pumping, he said, I'm ready to go if you need me.
Yeah. And Micah Hyde returned to the game after leaving with an ankle problem. So that's certainly a good sign. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see how all those injuries shake out. In addition to the players that are supposed to or at least have spent enough time on IR where they're eligible to begin practicing if they're healthy enough to do so. Whether they are or they aren't, we'll probably find out later this week. So a lot of player personnel things to shake out through the course of this week that could change the complexion of the roster.
If it goes as it has under Sean McDermott, you kind of get this stuff. We've seen it a lot during training camp, like last year with Mitch Morris and with Spain and with all those guys going, not Spain so much, but Feliciano getting an ankle twist, all those offensive linemen, some of the other soft tissue injuries out on the edge. And I think we're kind of seeing around the league all this stuff happen in this first month of the season while these teams get into this, starting to compete hard at 100%, which you can't practice at, you can't train at, and all that. And I think once you get through this first month and you can get guys back healthy, we may sink back to where we see the injuries kind of go back to normal, I guess is what I'm saying.
Or dissipate a little bit,
yeah. So I don't know that that's going to happen. You can hope that it does. But still, as we said, some of the guys that have been out early, Josh Norman, John Feliciano, they got a chance now to get back on the field, and you got a chance to mitigate some of the losses you felt.
All right, break here, but when we return, we've got the Matty Awards coming up with our Bills reporter, Matty Glab. She'll be joining the show after the break here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, motoring home through the final hour of a Bills victory Monday edition of One Bills Live. And joining us now via Skype, because we still can't have three people in the studio due to proper distancing protocols. So coming in for her weekly Matty Awards is Bills reporter Matty Glab. And Matty's awards are brought to you each week by Energy Mark, the official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. Matty, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. I'm here to bring the energy to you on this Monday.
Oh, there you go. I see what you did there.
I wish I was in studio with you all, but
of course
we can't be in studio all together, so it's okay. Skype is going to do.
So Maddie's stuck with her Maddie. It's just her and her Maddie there on the other end of the Skype line.
Yeah, so you watch this game, big seesaw, back-and-forth battle, although it was a one-sided conversation for the first half and then the other side of the conversation for the second half. What are your takeaways from this third game of the year for the Bills as it moves them to 3-0?
I woke up this morning and just thinking back to that last drive and the second half of the game, really, like, my heart started to beat pretty fast again. I was like, I can't go there right now in the morning. I'm like, I'm just happy we got this win. I can't think back to all the stressful situations that yesterday brought about, but glad it finished out in a win, because that's all that matters, is that they're 3-0. They got put in a tough situation. They were able to come out of it unscathed. So with that, should we start off with my difference maker on offense for the first award?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Absolutely.
All right. So my difference maker on offense is Cole Beasley, and that's because I kept going back to that 3rd and 22 and just how important that play was on that final drive, which resulted in a Tyler Kroft touchdown. I mean, that 3rd and 22, they don't convert that last year, and they do that this year, and I think in part it's because, yes, Josh Allen is growing up and progressing in his game, but it's also because of the chemistry that he's formed with his receivers like Cole Beasley. I think an increased chemistry means that you convert on some of those plays. Cole Beasley also had an 18-yard catch in the first play of that last drive. He had some big receptions yesterday, also a 29-yard reception in the second half of that game as well. I think he's had a quiet, hot start to the season. He's averaging 16.7 yards per reception in yesterday's game from the 100 receiving yards. He has a career high right now, 15.2 yards per reception over the last three games, totaling 228 receiving yards. So really happy with what Cole Beasley has been able to do with this offense through 3 weeks.
Yeah, hit 100 yards yesterday and got 59 of them on the final drive. So he was instrumental. Yeah. And it was interesting that Josh Allen mentioned that he and Cole on that 3rd-and-22 conversion, it was a play that they had talked about all the way back to last year in week 1. And he said, Josh tried to hit me on it in week 1 against the Jets last year, and I wasn't ready for it. And we talked about it then and several times thereafter. And look, it comes up again and it works this time. All right, let's flip it to the other side of the ball, Maddie. Defensive difference maker of the game.
My defensive difference maker is someone who got picked on last week by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitz has picked on this player before, and it was Levi Wallace for me. Levi had some shots at him in week 2 against the Miami Dolphins, but you know what? He came back with confidence against last night's game. He had that interception, which was going to Van Jefferson, I want to say, yep. Coming from Jared Goff. And this guy has a lot of confidence. And Leslie Frazier said, I believe last week, he said, if Levi Wallace wants some of the attention off him, he's going to have to make a play. And he's going to have to show, don't throw over by my direction because I'm going to make plays on the ball. And that's exactly what he did, intercepting Jared Goff's pass intended for the rookie Van Jefferson. So Levi Wallace also said last week, confidence is the most important thing a corner can have. And I think he showed that yesterday and showed why he's valuable to this team.
Yeah, I think most Bills fans took it as a great sign when in the first half of that game, Goff got picked off by a topic of conversation from the week before. Levi Wallace did get picked on. When people saw Levi step in and pick that ball off, I think most people thought it was going to be a pretty good day for the Bills defense, knowing that their number two cornerback was going to step up to the plate like he did. I think Bills fans got a lot of stress relief from that pick.
Yeah. And I think they wanted to see something from Levi, and they got that yesterday in the form of a big play. Now he's just got to continue to carry that level of play through the next several weeks, because you got another high-flying offense coming out in Las Vegas this week in the Raiders. They can't stop anybody on defense, but they can put up points. All right, Maddie, this one is probably an easy one for everybody to guess, but your comeback king.
Comeback king, it's got to be Josh Allen himself with that fourth quarter comeback last night, yesterday. Now he has 7 from last season to this season. He leads the league in that stat. Had a fourth quarter comeback already this season before the fourth quarter comeback against the Rams yesterday. And to think about his stats in the fourth quarter, you look at his stats as a quarterback in the fourth quarter, and everything pretty much goes up, which is pretty incredible. It's crazy to watch how confident Josh Allen becomes when the clock strikes the fourth quarter. He loves and accepts the stage that a close fourth quarter game gives him. It's like there's no nerves at all. He just wants to do whatever he can do to get a win for his team. This game definitely had playoff feelings. It kind of brought me back to that Houston Texans playoff game from last year. And to have a game that was this tight in week 3 playing against such a talented team in the Rams and to come out of it with a win, I think this team can take a lot of learning lessons from this game as they go into the rest of the season and face some really tough opponents coming up here in the next few weeks. And of course, looking towards the end of the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading the AFC in fourth quarter passer rating right now with 138.3. 72% completion and 10.81 yards per attempt in the fourth quarter.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty silly.
Yes.
Moving along here, because we're tight on time, Maddie, your hats off award.
Hats off. It's got to go to the tight ends. I mean, we've seen this team roll out a lot of 10 personnel, a lot of 11 personnel in weeks 1 and week 2. And in weeks week three without Dawson Knox, you're kind of wondering, okay, how are the tight ends going to get involved in this game? Are they going to get involved in this game? And you see Lee Smith activated for the first time all season. He's thrown one pass and it's a touchdown pass. No time to warm up at all. He's brought right into the game and he executes, putting 6 points on the board for the first touchdown of the game. And then Tyler Croft coming up big. Tyler and Lee combined for just 25 receiving yards, but it was good for 3 total touchdowns in the game. And just to think about the season that Tyler Croft had last year and all the setbacks, the injuries, and to see him come out strong in this game with 2 touchdowns, you just got to feel good for a guy like that and the tight ends as a whole.
Now we've got to widen our scope just for 1 second and go down to the New Orleans Saints. What are you talking about? How did you do that award? This is from the greater NFL at large. Yeah, how did you do that?
It's going to go to Alvin Kamara. This is one of my favorite players in the league. We knew each other when I worked at Tennessee. He was playing at Tennessee. Loved to see him have success in the game. He had a 52-yard touchdown reception to tie this game at 27. And as you watch this play, he breaks 6 tackles, which is incredible. In that game, he had 58 rushing yards. He was averaging 9.7 yards per carry yesterday. So Alvin Kamara just doing Alvin Kamara things, making you scratch your head at a play like that, missing all those tackles, finding your way into the end zone. Also had 139 receiving yards, so great game for him.
On a side note, Alvin Kamara saved my bacon in fantasy football this week, so he's going to help me win this week. So thank you, Alvin Kamara. He gets an award for me, too.
There you go.
Moving along, the Never Give Up Award.
Never give up. You know what? If you get beat on what looks to be a touchdown reception and you're a couple steps behind, you know what? Just keep running towards that receiver, because the receiver may give up a little bit and you may have a chance to punch the ball out. And that's exactly what Trayvon Diggs did against DK Metcalf. Watch this throw from Russell Wilson. Just a beautiful pass placed perfectly. Trayvon Diggs, nope, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to punch it out. He forces a touchback. DK Metcalf relaxed a little bit, and here comes the rookie Stephon Diggs' brother to punch it out. That's why you never give up.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
It's a John Beebe play right there.
You know about that type of play. I think it happened in the 93 Super Bowl. Everybody thinks it was you, but
that's right.
Who was it?
I was chasing a guy, but it was Don Beebe. I was chasing him too, but I was about 35 yards behind.
Yeah.
And Beebs ran down Leon Lett, knocked the ball out. It's the same play. The ball gets knocked out of the offense's hand in the field of play. It goes through the end zone you're trying to get to and goes through the end zone. It's a touchback for the defense, and they get the football. It's a turnover. So, and we're watching it on MSG. Look at our guys. Look at Jeff Koltunak and Tom Hollander, and
yeah.
Pulling out the Don Beebe
right out of the archive.
Right,
bing, bada boom.
Bing, bada boom. Look at that,
Maddie.
I remember this too. I got back in the huddle after that play, and I couldn't breathe. They sucked all the oxygen out of the air in that stadium.
So, Maddie, I know you had a pretty cool moment award. The 2 female coaches and the female official in the Washington-Cleveland game, certainly a cool moment for the league, but also for females who are trying to break into the coaching ranks at the pro level, right?
Yeah, definitely. So Sarah Thomas, who is the NFL's first full-time official, was in this game between Washington and the Browns. She was hired in 2015 as the first full-time official in the NFL as a female. And then, of course, Jennifer King, who works for Washington as a coaching intern, and Callie Brownson, who we all know, she was a coaching intern for the Bills last year. It was amazing to have her here in Buffalo. Now she's moved on to the Browns as a chief of staff for the head coach, Kevin Stefanski.
All right. Thanks to Maddie Glab for this week's edition of the Maddie Awards, brought to you by Energy Mark, the official energy supplier of the Bills. Back to close things up with What Have We Learned here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills, and I think a couple of things we learned, Steve, is the Bills are going to have some roster decisions to make because of the IR players that could come off that list this week now that they've served 3 weeks: Isaiah Hodgins, Josh Norman, John Feliciano, and we also have some injury news to settle: Tremaine Edmonds, John Brown. There's other guys.
Yeah, the
Deion Dawkins.
The team has a chance to have a different complexion when it takes the field out in Vegas, and there's going to be some guys, maybe some key guys inserted into the lineup, maybe some guys out. the injuries are certainly going to be a factor going forward, but this is going to be an interesting week for that aspect.
Tomorrow's show, One Bills Live, Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football at 1, Seth Walder from ESPN.com at 2 p.m. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.